Nikita Koloff, the Russian nightmare, no, the devil's nightmare, here from It's Time to Man Up, challenging men to step into their true manhood. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Previously on Lantern Rescue.
One in the past week was a spiritist who took a child for voodoo activity. You know, the interception of that child was a rare case, and we were super excited. Another one just in the past 5 days, and they were going into under a complete trafficking situation. And to know that those children this week were all returned, every single one of them was returned to their parents, and gratefully so, means that we're doing a not just a good job, but we're disrupting criminal activity.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Oh, welcome to Lantern Rescue. And it just continues to amaze me what all God is doing. And we talked recently about this event that was held down in Florida. And so really cool. We have several of the volunteers of Lantern Rescue that are going to be on with us today. But first off, Whitney, can you give our listeners a little bit of an idea of what went on down there in Florida?
Absolutely. I'd love to. So most of y'all know that we had an event that was sponsored by a couple of different groups. We had a lot of different tactical teams working on, or companies working on, putting a tournament, a three-gun tournament together. And so in doing this, we worked closely with some of the community in the area that the event was held. We had some people reach out and visit down in Florida a week prior to the event to kind of reach out to small businesses and just get the word out about what was going on for Lantern and a little bit about human trafficking. And so in doing so, we actually came across a grandmother that was going to have an experience that none of us expected to be able to take part in and minister through. So one of our helpers went down to speak with one of the local boutiques, actually, and this grandmother happened to be working there and told her a little bit about what Lantern was and told her about the event. And little did we know, 2 or 3 days later, her daughter came to her about her granddaughter having a conversation with a older man on through the internet. And, you know, when her daughter came to her about that, it touched heart to what we were talking about when it came to human trafficking, and it kind of jolted her a little. So we really had a neat opportunity to speak with her at Lantern. She actually showed up at the event. The grandmother did initially and came up to our Lantern table, and I had an opportunity to talk with her and pray with her. And, you know, she was just very concerned because her granddaughter was, I think 13, maybe 12 or 13 years old, not very old, and had met a gentleman online that had lied about his age. And I'm sure we'll get deeper into that story or narrative in a little bit, but she was very concerned. And so she really just wanted to have somebody to talk to about it and talk about the, you know, reality of human trafficking, and the things that go on with that. So for her, it was really a God thing that he had placed someone in her path 3 days before getting this conversation with her daughter. And so that was a really neat opportunity to be a part of and a ministry opportunity for all of us as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like for such a time as this. And so, Ren, tell us, you know, from your perspective, you know, when you got in on this.
Sure. So Whitney came and found me at the event and asked if I was able to speak with a family that had some concerns. So the mom, and there was a mother and father, I think she was about 12 or 13, and then they had a younger daughter as well that was probably maybe 7 or 8-ish range, and they're all standing there, and the parents were very, you could tell they were very supportive and very, but also there's an air of like when you find out that your child is potentially talking to an older person online, a lot of parents' reaction is going to be kind of a, not anger, but I don't know how to put that, like a punishment almost, way to approach their kids because they're just confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle the situation. So they were trying to have this open door policy and they were doing their absolute best and they were doing a great job of bringing her and talking to her and making her feel comfortable. But at the same time, you could tell that they were kind of, you know, a little mad that the situation had happened to begin with. And I think a lot of that is probably also self-blame. So we had a conversation with her and the young girl she was uncomfortable. You could tell she was maybe a little ashamed. And you know, when you're at that age, you think you know a lot more about the world than you do. You think your parents, they don't know what's going on. They don't know what it's like to be young anymore. And you think all these things. And then when you get caught and you realize that what you're doing is potentially very detrimental to your own life and to your safety, it's hard to accept that. And there can be a lot of, you know, embarrassment and confusion around that. So the conversation went really well. And it was really incredible to see parents that wanted to be so open and honest and involved in their child's life like that. And they immediately went and found resources that were able to help them. And that was really incredible. And whether it would have led to a trafficking situation or not, or what it could have led to, isn't really the exact problem here. The best thing that came out of this was showing that she was able to come talk to her parents whenever there was an issue and that her parents were supportive of her. And she also knew she had better guidelines of what was and wasn't acceptable online and what could cause issues for her moving forward.
So, wow, Gabby, another one of the volunteers there that we've had on the show a few times before, you know, this conversation led to sort of a springboard of information that really you felt like a lot of families should know, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Early prevention is something that really needs to be talked about inside of homes and schools and churches. A lot of not just trafficking, but abuse in general and confusion comes from online predation and grooming, from family, from people you can meet online, from people in your life. A lot of people that want to abuse children and then also on the other side, traffickers usually position themselves to gain access to those individuals. And so the more that families and at-risk youth can learn, the better they would be prepared in the future when they encounter it.
So you had a chance, obviously, through the stuff that you do through social media and whatever, to share stuff with families. What are some of the things that you shared?
Well, we definitely share, especially for Village of Light, how we have like an open transparency policy with our children and how we recommend that. Sometimes questions you can get from your children are really, really hard to answer. And sometimes we get so busy in our lives, we can overlook signs of something being wrong and just sum it up to it's a stage or something that's just emotional in them or they're supposed to act this way. And a lot of times those are actually indicators that something could be wrong. And when we pause and are able to dig into that and really ask and figure out what's happening in our kids' lives, the better we are at identifying those things that are happening.
Yeah, you know, Ren mentioned that as well. That's one of the critical aspects is they were able to talk about this, and and everybody was accessible. So, Whitney, you know, what are some of the things that you think our listeners could glean from this?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things. I think, you know, the generation that is up and coming youth-wise, it's so different. They face so many different challenges. You know, as I was growing up, my mom was quick to be like, okay, don't be out of my arm's reach. And, you know, I think because we're from an older generation, our concern is that somebody's going to, you know, swipe our kid and that's going to be how they enter into this abuse and human trafficking. And that's just not the way of the world anymore to some extent. I mean, it does happen. It does occur. But there's this element of, you know, like Gabby said, this online predator. And, we don't have to, nobody has to come in and jerk our kid out from our hands, because they can get to them through the internet when you hand them a phone at 8 years old, you know, or 10 years old or 15 mm-hmm. years old. And they build this manipulative relationship. So I agree with Gabby. There's so much of an open door policy you have to have with your children so that they do feel comfortable coming to you about those questions. And clearly this girl in Florida, I mean, I'm sure there are things that her parents found that begged those questions, but she was willing to discuss it. And, you know, my other mission field, if you will, is I'm a high school teacher. And so, you know, as teachers, so if we have teachers listening, you guys are on the front lines of some of these situations. And so I would encourage, you know, our teachers, and I mean, even people, I have family members that are in the airline industry, you know, you're on the front lines of seeing kind of what could be problematic and how things are, you know, how things can kind of trickle down. So as teachers, you know, I've dealt with situations where I'm, prior to really knowing and having the knowledge base of what human trafficking was, I would have thought they had just been, you know, sexually abused as a child. But really, you know, there's a specific situation and a specific person that comes to mind, because I just have built a very strong relationship with her, that her mom would solicit her for drugs as a young child. And so I mean, those are things like, you just, as a parent personally, it's hard to understand how do you prepare for, you know, your child to handle any kind of situation. You know, that one, of course, is a little bit different because there is a addiction involved, you know. But I think that there's probably a lot more of that goes on that we're even aware of to some extent. But it's learning to look for those things, and with your own children, learning to open those doors and ask those hard questions. Another balance I think you have to kind of work around, and I have young children, so how I kind of discuss those things with them are a little bit different. I have a six-year-old son, and, you know, we have a safe word, right? And so he knows that if that word is said, it means there is an immediate threat, and I need you to be close to me and pay attention to what I say, right? And so there's also, we've talked about things like, you know, places that people don't need to see or touch, right? And so having those conversations, not waiting for something to happen before you have those conversations. And then there's that element of balancing out. I don't want my child to be afraid of people. I need them to know that balance between good and evil in this world, but I need them to also have Christ-like compassion for people, you know? And so finding that balance is very difficult in the world that we're in.
Wow, I would guess.
Whitney, you crushed that.
She did.
That, Whitney brought up a lot of really good points that I want to touch on in there. So that was fantastic. That's such a good way to put it. It is not the world that we grew up in when we were kids, you know, become when the streetlights turn on. It's, you know, the predators are, they're going to grab us at the store or whatever. Nowadays, the predators are already in your home. They're on the phones. They're on the laptops. They're on the iPads. They're everywhere. And it's such a great point to bring up, is we're trying to evolve as a generation to understand the younger generation and try to protect them in a way that we don't really fully grasp yet. So having those open conversations is really the best way to do it. And having that relationship where they feel comfortable coming to you and talking to you about that is so vital. So that's an incredible point that you brought up there. And I definitely think that when you do have concerns, even if you're wrong, you know, you think there's something going on, and maybe you're wrong. Maybe it really is a 13-year-old boy that also likes the same toy that they were talking about online or whatever the conversation was. Maybe that's right. But then you know, and you'd rather be wrong and it be, you know, an innocent situation than be wrong and it, you know, you're not taking the steps you need to protect your child, and it does escalate into something more. So I think you brought up a lot of really good points there.
Yeah, she really did. And we got to go to a break. And when we come back, we're more information that families can use, as well as ways that we can pray for teams that are out there looking for this kind of thing all the time. So we'll be right back. Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operations law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially. Welcome back to Lantern Rescue. Today's show, fresh off the event in Florida, where actually our team had a chance to meet with a family that was experiencing some grooming and these kind of things. And after listening to that, Wren, what are some of the other things that people should be, you know, sensitive to that are on the front lines, whether you're on an airplane or a teacher or whatever field you're in?
Definitely. So there's some fields that you're going to be in out there in the world, like you mentioned, teaching. Maybe even if you are the same person that works at the grocery store every week and you see the same kids come in every week, someone that has consistent relationships and interactions with children and adults as well. We know adults can be trafficked as well. So what you're going to want to look out for is changes in behavior that are very out of the normal for them, or in a lot of situations here in America, when kids get trafficked and they're starting to be groomed by the lover boy effect, their new quote boyfriend will start giving them gifts, stuff that isn't stuff that they could generally afford. You'll start to see them isolating a lot more, bringing in these expensive items that they can't explain how they got them, stuff like that. Those are going to be warning signs. A lot of flinchiness, I guess, is the best way to put it. You know, reactive to touches. Very like stuff like that would be very concerning. And just really what is the most beneficial, though, beyond all of that, those things can kind of help you. They're a red flag. They're a conversation starter. What's going to be the most important is having that conversation and being a soft place for them to come talk to, and always being approachable and understanding and not making people feel like they're the criminal. You want them to understand that you are there to help them. You are not looking at them as they've done anything wrong. So there's a lot of red flags, and you know the people in your life the best. You know, I would notice if one of my nephews, he suddenly changed his behavior, or even if it happened gradually, you know, what happened? Why aren't we playing with toys anymore? Why are you all of a sudden, you know, trying to hurt things? What's going on here? Stuff like that you're going to notice in your life.
And Gabby, you're very active in this as well.
Yes. A lot of times I try to explain grooming to people that don't understand as something that you would see, like, that would just impact, as she was saying, changes in behavior. It can be anger. It can be depression. It could be even something that doesn't seem bad, like them always wanting to go do something that's regular, always talking on their phone to someone you don't know and don't recognize the number or name of. Anything that they kind of don't want to talk about and or seem secretive about is definitely worth bringing up. Having transparency and having them able to talk to you, but you also be able to come and talk to them and like come to mutual understandings is important, but also like allowing them to know the world. As parents, we want to protect our children's innocence so much and as long as we can. And I see it so often that parents, because they want to protect their children's innocence, won't bring up topics that those children should hear and know. And then by the time they do bring it up, it's too late. They've already seen or experienced this kind of material or talk or abuse. And then it just can become desensitizing when it's from the world and from culture and from other people, instead of when you're able to come and express and talk to them about it honestly and let them know about the dangers of it and why it is important to talk about it as well.
Yeah, and Whitney, I love what you said about balance. Yeah, I mean, we don't want to make everybody just totally paranoid. So have you got some other ideas along those lines?
Well, you know, And it really, it varies depending on what age, you know, you're talking to, if you're parent-wise. Because to my six-year-old, like I said, he and him particularly just has a heart for all people. We prayed that he would have a heart for the least of these. And he does, but sometimes that can be, the world we're in, I don't want that to be taken, taken
advantage of.
From him or advantage of, exactly. And so reminding him that, you know, people have the ability to be good, but there's also not good people out there too. So you have to figure out when your heart tells you that this is not a good situation to be in, or you have those feelings like, would my mommy be mad at me, or would my mommy be worried about me, or, you know, anytime you have those feelings, you need to think about that and come talk to mommy. Tell mommy, tell daddy, tell, you know, your grandparents. Talk to somebody if there's somebody around you that might seem like a nice person, but maybe you just don't feel right. Because I'll tell you, even at that age, they have intuition, you know, and they know when something's a little bit off. Are they comfortable enough to come to you? That is the key as a parent. Are you facilitating that relationship that allows them to say, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so Uncle Johnny is, you know, he said something that made me feel sad or feel whatever. Like, let them have that opportunity to talk to you without you just being quick to dismiss them, because we so often do that as parents, or you overlook it. And there is not a moment that you will regret not saying something, or saying something versus not saying something, if it ends up being a situation that could have been prevented, you know? So taking the time to have that conversation, taking the time to address someone, even if it feels really out of place, or you feel, you know, you're concerned about what the clashback is going to be on it, you know, being able to say, hey, you know, so-and-so brought this to my attention. Do you know what he might have been talking about? And not that they're going to give you an honest answer, but you can learn to pick up on those signs and those manipulative ways of people that are not, they don't have the best intentions for your child.
And
that's, you know, from a parent perspective.
Absolutely.
That's where I would.
You're completely on track with that intuition, because everyone can think back to a time in their childhood when you did something and in your stomach dropped and you're like, that wasn't right. Like, I did something wrong. Like, you know that feeling. And to make sure that children know that it's okay to have that feeling and that you need to come and talk to your parents when you have that feeling is so vital. Another thing I wanted to bring up that kind of came to my mind when you were talking about this is, a lot of times when kids are getting groomed, here in America, that we have the Loverboy effect, but also another way that kids can be abused and trafficked in a sense is through family. And a lot of kids, I mean, when I grew up, there was always, you get to a family event and you have to hug and kiss everyone in the room, whether you want to or not. So you get so desensitized to that you feel like when people that you really don't want touching you, you kind of have to accept it because that's what you had to do as a child. Like, oh, I'm supposed to respect them. They're older, they're family. I'm supposed to love them. No matter how they touch me or interact with me, I'm supposed to accept that because I always had to do that. I'm sure other people had similar experiences. So I think it's important to allow children to, again, I'm not a parent. However, I do think it's important to allow children to choose when they want to have physical contact with other human beings and not force them to be doing the kissing and the hugging when you get to family events, so that they understand that they have sovereignty over their own body and they can make those decisions. And when an adult or a trusted person says or tries to manipulate them into a physical sexual relationship, they don't feel that obligation to do so.
Yeah,
I agree completely. I teach my kids consent and everything, and it's not just respecting other people's consent, but consent for themselves. Our parents very much so of like, they do have the freedom to express their wants and their feelings about things. My parents were much so like, you're talking back doing that. And that's one thing that I kind of changed in my parenting, because I want them to be free to express. That doesn't mean that they always get their wishes, but I do want them to learn to speak for themselves and to advocate for themselves.
Yeah, Wren and Gabby, as I get a chance very often to, you know, counsel with guys through our boot camps and other ministries that I'm in that have been abused, or their daughters have been abused, or, you know, when I'm getting into those, almost every time it's a family member or a neighbor. almost every time. And so if there's some place that we really want our kids to be sensitive is when we're with, you know, Uncle Johnny and all those kind of stuff. You know, again, there's got to be balance. So, Gabby, you have some really helpful information when it comes to giving our kids instruction along these lines.
Yes. I was loving what Whitney said about how she mentioned not just talking to her or the kid's father, but other trusted adults. I think it's really important for when you have those conversations, not to just have transparency and communication with you and your child, but to mention to them other trusted adults that they could go to if they were to get lost somewhere, like in the mall or in the grocery store, like who could they could go up to get help, who to look for, to ask those questions. Because when you don't prepare them for those kinds of things, and then something does happen and they can't come to you right away or find you, they need to have those other people that they can feel comfortable talking to, knowing who to ask for help in a situation of grooming. If they are scared they're going to be in trouble or that you're going to be angry, disappointed, hurt at them, they need to know that they can talk to someone else who might not do that as well. So I think that it's important to open that up to them so they can go to grandma or to a teacher or to a counselor or to someone at church and know that they can talk to those people and they will also get them help. And it doesn't have to just be relying on you.
And if you got a last word for our listeners?
And I just really want to thank everyone for being so open about this conversation. I know it's a very uncomfortable topic, but it's vital. It's really important. And the worst thing to find out as a parent is that your child's been being abused for a long period of time and they didn't feel comfortable coming to you and talking to you about it. So as uncomfortable these conversations are, they're so important to have. And it's better to, like Whitney said earlier, it's better to have that conversation and be wrong than to never have that conversation and then have regret later.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. Once again, Whitney, Gabby, and Wren, thank you so much. What a wonderful episode.
Thank you, Robbie.
This is the Truth Network.